I have a joy in my heart, unexplainable today. It's just, I feel that I have this joy in my spirit just because of what Jesus has done for us. And not just what He has done for us, who He is, and what He's paid for. And that's why we sing these songs, because it's not songs, it's worship. We are honoring who He is and what He's done. The King is alive. And that's why we can live. Are you there? I want to tell you a story, a true story. A couple of years ago when the girls were small, we like to go to Gordon's Bay. It's the place where you make wind, they say. And knowing what I know now, I don't go there specifically, though we have a church in Somerset West, but the wind blows extremely. But nevertheless, when they were younger, we liked to go to there, and there was this one specific ice cream place there. And as a family, we would walk down from the holiday house, and then we'll go there to the ice cream parlor, and there you would sit and eat ice cream. But this ice cream shop is like, it's on the beach road. You have to kind of walk past it, and you can't really not walk past it. You have to walk past it. That's, by the way, a good business plan. Walk past, or have a business where people need to walk past, right? And so the one day we were walking down there, and this ice cream parlor is always busy because everybody likes ice cream. Okay, that's not a good amen place. Anyway, let's move on to all the gluten-free people. But one day as we were walking past, we were standing in the queue, you know, as a good dad buying ice cream, and there was a gentleman sitting there. And I explained it to the first service, I'll explain it now again. You know these guys that wear the high type of khaki shorts? I'm not looking at anybody specifically. But the typical big Free State type of person. You guys, everybody understand the picture? And so this man, big belly, of course, ate too much Boerewors. You get the picture. He's sitting there, and you know, he's a personality just by being. You understand what I mean? You get this. I'm Afrikaans, so I'm teasing myself here, but thank be to God, I don't wear khaki shorts. It was also a good place to say amen. You know, we have to have a little bit of style, the people of God. Come on, bump your neighbor, say, have a little bit of style. It's okay to look good. And so, am I alone in this morning? Come on, I need help here. And so this guy was sitting there, and he had an ice cream in his hand like this. And as he had the ice cream in his hand, a homeless person came walking down the street. And as he was having the ice cream in his hand, the homeless person started to walk, and he checked the ice cream. And I was already like guessing, I think what's going to happen next. And suddenly this homeless guy just made two quick steps, and he bit that the whole head of the ice cream off. And the guy sat shocked. He sat like that. He sat with the ice cream cone in his hand, and he was like, he just let it go. And as I was thinking about this morning, the Lord just brought this story again to my heart, that the homeless person was enjoying something that somebody else paid the price for. But he was the recipient of it. He wasn't the one that needed to pay for it, though he enjoyed the splendor of somebody else paying the price for that what he enjoyed, right? Because as he walked away, the ice cream was just like, and I thought to myself, Jesus, if I was a homeless guy, I would have done exactly the same. Because he saw it, it's a kans gesien, hy het hom gevat, papi, one time. Are you guys with me? And so it is of Jesus, that Jesus paid the full price. And the Father is sitting with an ice cream and say, come, take a bite of my goodness and my blessing and my overflowing nature for you. Because we were all homeless ones. Come on, we were all homeless ones, but we're no longer lost, we found. I'm no longer a slave, I'm a son. And because I'm a son, I have got the keys of the kingdom in my hands. Jesus said, I've given you the keys. What's the difference between a son and a slave? Very simple. Slaves have got locks. Slaves have no destiny. Slaves have no tomorrow. Sons have keys. Sons have access. Come on, is there anybody with me? In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 5, the scripture says, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to see here, we were dead in our sins. The word dead there is the Greek word nekros, and it means that you were dead. You were stinking. That word dead, by the way, is the word corpse. Not just dead, it means corpse. It means smelling. Now, normally you run away from things that smell. God ran to it. If you ever want to understand what is the ridiculous grace of God, it's this, that he could have kept us in our condition, but He didn't. He came to make us sons and daughters again. And it was His delight, the scripture says, to give us the kingdom. Are you there? God didn't come to give you the church. God made you the church, but He gave you the kingdom. You are the church, but you have a kingdom message. The kingdom message is come back home. Come on, are you okay? The kingdom message is one that we have got access again back to the Father. We are no longer vagabonds. We are no longer destitute. We have a future. Come on, guys, are you there? And we our future is based on Jesus. Jesus is the first raised or the first born from the dead. He's the first born, and because He's the first born, many of us are born again. Born into what? Born into the church? No, born into the kingdom. What is the kingdom message? The kingdom message is, for God so loved the world, He sent the Son. God so did not love the church, God so loved the world. Then He called a group of people, you and I, called the church, and He gave us a message. What's the message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, change your mind. Change your life, because heaven is invading. I want you to note this morning that heaven is not a stagnant kingdom. Heaven is an invading kingdom. God wants us to invade. And as you sit here this morning, you are God's invasion plan. When I see business people, when I see architects, when I see doctors, when I see nurses, when I see teachers, I see invasion strategies how God can invade stuff. And I pray that this morning that our people here don't dream just for the church, because God is not dreaming for the church. He's dreaming for the world. He wants the world back. Come on, are you guys there? But we have the keys. We have the access. It's been given to us. We have the authority to get the keys or to receive the keys. I explain it like this. I think it's noteworthy that we have to understand that whatever I bind on the earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loosen upon the earth is loosened in the heavens, and vice versa. But I don't bind stuff because the scripture just says so. No, I'm in relationship with heaven. No, you didn't get that. I'm in relationship with the Lord. I know what He doesn't like because I'm part of His household. And because I'm part of His household, I know He doesn't like sickness. I know He doesn't like poverty. I know He doesn't like brokenness. I know He doesn't like disease. And so being part of the home, I can easily say, this is not how we do stuff here. Come on, when you visit my house, you have to abide by my rules. Because I carry with me the keys of the house, right? So when you come and visit, it's not your rules, it's our rules. Are you there? And I have the ability to kick out of my house everything that don't have that's not abiding with the rules. Everybody with me? Same of the kingdom. If I have been in the kingdom or are in the kingdom, I have the ability to cast out everything that doesn't look like home. Oh, come on, just give Jesus 5 seconds there. If you use for an example, the other day it was crazy hot here in Pretoria. It was like 38, 39 degrees. And, you know, it's almost one of those days you think the Lord is angry at Pretoria. But It was hard, like hard. And we, Shannon would often, we have places that we put the keys, but this specific day I was quicker there. And you know, sometimes we just misplace the keys, right? And who of you have houses where you sometimes, you know you've put it somewhere, but it's not there? Anybody? Okay, me only. Many of you here. And it was one of those days where, look, I'm constantly, there's two things in my house that disappears all the time. One is AirPods, like the one. I just always lose one. I don't have two. I always lose just the one, and then I need to use my iPhone to try to search for the one. But I constantly lose stuff, but I've got a very good mind, so I will know how, but I place it there, and then I go look, and it's no longer there. Somebody has moved it. But this specific day, it was like boiling hot, and I was standing outside, and I phoned Shannon. She was on her way. I couldn't find the key. And when I get hot like that, I get a little bit irritated because I can't get access into the house where the aircon is at. Right? Anybody with me? And okay, nobody? Come on, help me here this morning. So I was waiting for my precious wife to bring the key because the aircon is inside and the devil seemed to be on the outside because it was that hard. But here's the point. As soon as I had the key, I had access into the house. But I had to wait before I could get entry. I had to receive the keys. Jesus Christ gave us the keys back into the household. It will be foolishness to stand outside in the hot sun and experience the blazing temperatures of this world if He gave us the access to access the kingdom, to access the household, and to be a recipient of the inside of the goodness and the favor of the Lord. Oh, come on, are you there? It's much better. It's much better inside. And so I want us to note something here. The grace of God is not about rule keeping. The Jews had some of the most sophisticated rules that this earth has ever had. And none of them could make it in because of rules. I'll say that again. The Jews had the most sophisticated rules that this world has ever seen. And none of them made it into God's kingdom. None of them made it back home with their rules. They had to go in with the one. In other words, the grace of the Lord is not about rule keeping. It's not because I don't need to act right to live right. I've been born right. Now I can act right. Let me say that one more time. You don't need to act right to be right. You don't have to have a pseudo personality. You don't need to be fake to be accepted. You are accepted, therefore you can be. I am because He is. I don't need to pretend to be. I don't need to pretend that I have. Let me use this example. Do you have friends in your life, one or two people in your life that you can just be yourself with? You don't need to pretend. You don't need to put up a show. You don't need to display a certain character. You can just be. You can just relax. You can just tell them about all the deficits and all the things that are wrong. And that's fine because they're not for your vision. They're not for your mission. They're for you. Come on, do you know people like that? Okay, most of those type of people, they're called confidants. There are people that are, they couldn't care if you're going to be successful. They couldn't care if you're going to drive a Isuzu or a Mercedes-Benz or a Porsche. They're just there for you. Right? They love you. And you know they love you. How do you know? Because you can be yourself. You don't need to pretend. The Father is like that and much more. You don't need to pretend in His household that you're more spiritual than what you are. You don't need to pretend that you have it all together. You can just be. And just being, you can be accepted. How do I know? The scripture tells me. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. In other words, you had nothing to offer heaven. Nothing. Nothing, zero, zippo, nix, nil. You had nothing to offer heaven, yet heaven chose you. What is that? That's the ridiculous, scandalous grace of God. Are you there? It is God choosing the best when you choose all the other stuff. So the grace of God is not about rule keeping. The Jews had the most intrinsic, sophisticated rules of the whole world, yet it didn't declare them righteous. There had to come one that took on death. And I want you to understand something here. Jesus didn't die for your sin. He died as your sin. The Father took all the sins of the world and poured it onto His Son. And the Son experienced something in those moments that He would never experience, and that's separation from God. The Father took all the sins of the world and poured it on Jesus. And the Bible actually said He placed it in Him, the Lord. And as all of those sins, past, present, future, everything got placed in the Lord, a moment came that Jesus recognized everything was on Him. And the Son of God, you know what blows me about Jesus is this, is that the Son of God, God allowed His creation to crucify Him on a tree He made. God allowed the people that He gave oxygen to crucify Him for a group of people that might choose Him and might not choose Him. Because He died for whosoever believe. That means some people will not believe, but the Lord, and it shakes my heart to understand this, the Lord still came. Come on, are you there? He was humble, He came. And so the Lord experienced something that you and I hopefully will never experience. He experienced separation from the Father. And He recognized it and He said, my Father, why, or my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he call him God? Because you have to call Him Father. He's your Father, but He's also your God. He's Father God. Come on, are you there? He's Abba, Father. He is, and Jesus says that you have not received the spirit of this world, but you have the spirit by which you may cry, Abba, Father, Papa, Papa, Abba, Abba. It's double. It's there to for you to understand that you can come home boldly. Come on, are you with me? Boldly with an extravagance in your heart. My dad had a friend that he lost his son, and he lost his son to certain drugs and stuff, and this son was gone for about 3-4 years, and ever so often the son would come back home, and he'll just come back home to steal food, and then he'll be gone again, and then he'll come home again and be gone again. And one day the son came home, and as my father's friend opened up the door, here the boy stands with a red dress and high heels in front of him. And my father's friend says this, he said, in that moment I knew I can either reject or give compassion. If I reject, I'm going to lose my son. If I have compassion, I have a chance to win him. It's not about the dress, by the way. It's not about the shoes. That's not the point here. The point here, there was a son that's lost. And this son cannot respond by a sophisticated rule-keeping system. So this dad did what he thought he needed to do. He grabbed his son. He picked him up. He kissed him. And he said, I'm thankful that you came home. And the story goes on. Here's the rest of the testimony. The Lord healed the boy, touched his life, changed him around. So what healed him? The scandalous love of a dad that accepted somebody that's lost. Oh, come on, are you there? The Father has accepted all of us, including me, that were completely lost in a flock. He completely lost. We had nothing going for us. And the Father accepted us. Scandalous love of God. There was a guy called Larry Maloney. Let me tell you the story of Larry Maloney. Larry Maloney was a student, Brennan Manning writes, that was a typical 1960s student. He wore no shoes. He was a proper hippie. Had long hair. He had no consideration for hygiene whatsoever. Don't look at people that are like that. He smelled, and he was just bad in his marks. Larry Maloney, true story. You can go and read it in Brennan Manning's books, Furious Longing for God, or the Ragamuffin Gospel, one of the two. Anyway, and Larry Maloney was this typical hippie, as I say, no sense of hygiene, hair coming out of every area and every crevice, just nothing going for him. And his marks were ridiculously bad. And one day he went home, and his parents were staunt Irish people. Now the staunt Irish people, they'll come to dinner with a black suit and a tie. Very traditional. And the day came that they had their normal, you know, rapport of one another, and Christmas came and Christmas went, and the new year started, and the father, Larry's father, walked him to the bus stop. And Larry never ever in his whole life heard the affirmation of his dad. He never heard the sentence, "I love you, I accept you." Never. And so Larry Maloney was overweight, and as he came walking down with his dad on his way to the bus stop, there was three other workers that worked with his dad. And they started to make sounds like a pig. And they said, hey pig, come here. Hey pig, where's your home? And they started to make jokes about how he looks and how he appears. And they just made fun of him. And Larry's dad looked at him in the eyes, and he grabbed him and he kissed him on his lips. And he said these words. He said, "Larry, I want you to know that if your mom and I had anybody to choose in the world, we will choose you." And here is the rest of the story. Larry went back to university. His marks increased. His hygiene changed. He became a president of his faculty. He later went on and he became a priest in a certain area. And he started to serve the Lord full time. What healed Larry Maloney? A father's love. What heals us? A father's love. What brings us back home? A father's love. The father that said, "Listen, I don't want, you're not worthy that I can just give you an angel. I have to send the son because you're worthy of the son. I want to give you the best because I believe that you have to come back home to me." Come on, guys, are you with me? It is the scandalous love of God that brings us back home. That's the grace of God. And my question to you this morning, in the few moments that I have left, is if I'm a recipient of grace, I can be a giver of grace. And here's the question: who must you give grace to? Who must you have compassion on? Who must you have as a partaker of mercy? You are a recipient of His goodness, right? But you can't just sit, because that's not the mission. He said, "Go." He never said, "Sit." He never said, "Be stagnant." He said, "Go. Be the difference. Be the catalyst." Come on, guys, are you with me? If you don't understand what He has saved you from, you're going to fall away from your first love. And you're not going to love Him as authentically as you once did. You know why? Because you forgot. And you became a human doer instead of being a human being. And you started to believe that you know it all. No, that's the quickest God will kick you off your little throne. We know nothing except that we are known. I know this fact, and this is how I'll define myself. Somebody will ask me, "Who you are? Who are you?" I'll say this: I am Gebar Baron, the one that Jesus loves. Because any other identity is pseudo. I'm not the preacher. I'm not the this. I'm not the that. Those are things I do for Him. But in the bottom of my heart, I am the one that He loves. How do I know? Because there came a day that He loved me to such an extent that I gave Him my life. Now, there's not an option to say, "I want to hold on." No, I gave it away. I didn't give you my heart. I gave you my life. It's a big difference. So now that I've given it away, I can't take it back. I've given it. Come on, is there anybody that's here with me? The goodness of God leads us to repentance, not the rules of man. I'll say that again. Sometimes we have stricter law for other people than what we have for ourselves. That's called hypocrisy. Have grace, have compassion, have mercy. People need it. Come on, is there anybody with me? You see, He became sin so that you may become the righteousness of God. He became, you become. He became, you become. Let me emphasize this. I'm completely off my notes this morning, so is that okay? I just want to flow with what the Lord places in my heart. There came a day in my life, I like cycling, and many years ago, about 8-9 years ago, my dad called me, and it might be more, it might be 10-20, I don't know, it was longer, a year, but anyway, catch the story. He said, come, he said, I want to buy you a bike. He didn't say that, he said, come, I want to take you somewhere. So we went in, and as we went in, he said, today we're going to buy you whatever you like. We're going to buy you the best bike. I said, the best bike? He said, the best bike. And so, knowing my dad, he was a giver, I didn't go to the cheap section. I went to the most expensive section immediately. Are you there? And as I went to the most expensive section, I said, any bike? He said, any bike. I said, listen, leave all the cheap bikes. Let's go to the expensive bike section. And as I was there and choosing the bike, and they were measuring you out and all these things, I thought, let me press it a little bit further. I said, Dad, can I get a kit? Like, yeah, sure. I was like, yes. Open heavens today. I said, can I please have shoes? He says, whatever you want. I said, well, thank be to Jesus. I took glasses, I took this, I took that. I took everything. Why? There was somebody else that's going to pay. And I'm the son. I'm not the father. I don't need to pay, but I can receive. So I went and I got everything I had and everything I wanted to have. And my dad paid. And I asked him as we were walking out, I said, because he was just a giver in his life. He gave, if you would see you without a watch, he'll give you a watch. He was just a giver. And so we were taught to give. So now we practice that, not because we have to, but because that's our way. We are givers. It's part of my DNA, right? And so I asked my dad, like, why today? Why now? Why did you want to buy the bike now? He said, because I want you to know that I love what you love. And I'm glad to pay for what you are in love with. You guys with me? And then he went on and told me a story about his own life. He said he had a green bike that his dad paid for him. And here's the story. My grandfather was a staunch German man. Like, I mean proper German. He was so German that when I was 16 and I had gel in my hair, that he would send me inside. He'll say, no, the men is outside, the girls are inside. Staunch. And, you know, I repaid that favor by returning to his home a couple of months later with an earring. So I thought, let me just repay the favor. But in his eyes, men didn't have gel. Most definitely didn't dress properly and definitely don't wear earrings. Okay, is anybody with me? Did anybody go through that season like that? Don't be so holy, yeah, man. Come on, we all know you. You know, wine is for... Oh, let me leave it like that. The point is that I want to bring across this morning is that he said, but my grandfather being staunch, he just never said to my dad he loves him. Never came out of his mouth, ever. Ever. because that was the era. We won't tell you. You have to see it. No, say it. But no, storm, don't. And anyway, but one day came and he said to my dad, I want to take you somewhere. And he bought him a bike. And then he said, for the first time in 16 years, I love you. I want to buy you something. Here's the point. I became a recipient of goodness because he was a recipient of goodness. Something marked his life that he wanted to mark my life. And now guess what? I've got many bikes. Guess what's my favorite bike? The one my dad bought. Because I didn't pay for it. Goodness paid for it. Why should you be full of joy? Because the heaven is your destiny. Why? You didn't pay for it. Somebody else paid that price. You don't need to settle for sickness. Why? Somebody else paid that price. You don't need to settle for brokenness. Why? Somebody else paid that price. You don't need to settle for death, hell, and destruction. Somebody else settled for that price. You don't need to stand at the back. You can stand right in front. Why? Somebody else paid that price. Yes, sir, I'm full of stories today. Let me give you a last one. When you fly, these days I feel like I'm on the airplane the whole time, but when you fly, you get a ticket called priority. The people of priority have got attitude. So I make sure I have that ticket. So because the people without the ticket, hey, stand in a long queue, brother. Everybody with me. But priority, you go right in front. So you stand there like, say. And normally, you know what I'll do, especially with the late flights, the queue will be long of the normal people. I have the priority ticket. So I'll go past all of them. Just stand right in front. Take my, I have in this pocket, I have my ID, in this pocket I have $50. Why $50? It is for a Coke Zero. And for Pringles, this pocket. Then I stand, I have priority, I check the queue. I stand there with attitude. Oh, I paid for that priority ticket. In life, listen to me, the favor of Jesus upon your life makes you pass, walk past sickness, brokenness. Not for me. Why? I have a ticket that says somebody paid the price. It's been bought by the blood. And because it's been bought by the blood, I'm sorry, I'm not standing in that queue. I'm going right past. Oh, is there somebody here that can say hallelujah? Tell you one more story, can I? I feel like I must tell stories today. When I was young, I was handsome, and yes, I hope somebody would say something, especially my wife that's here in front. And I'll bring girls home, and my dad, he will sit with his newspaper. Oh, bless him, he's in heaven now. But he would, I say, hey, dad, this is so and so. He'll drop it. He'll like. Oh. I say, Gebhardt, please, stop with this. And he'll ignore them. Just ignore. And he told me for long, he said, marry Shannon. Yeah. She's clean, she's pure, she's whole. Please. And so here's a true story. Can I tell you, let's be real quickly here, true story. So I had another girl that I liked a little bit. So I brought her home and Shannon was there. And my mom was ugly with the other girl. Like, I mean, distasteful ugly. Because she favored Shannon. And then thank be to God, I got revelation. I just want to testify. I received the revelation of Shannon. And now I'm 19 years on in marriage, and I'm happy because I married the best. Why? I had a dad that had the insight. And some days I wake up and I think, oh my Lord, you're beautiful. I was standing in a hospital the other day. I was actually visiting one of our friends and somebody taps me on the shoulder. Oh, you see, this thing is going out on national TV and everywhere. Somebody taps me on the shoulder. And I turn around, I'm like, who's this Tani? You know, she looks older. So I'm like, who's this? And then she says my name. She's like, hey, Gibber. She called actually my nickname at school. And I froze. I thought to myself, dear Lord, that's the goal. So I greeted her like this. I just ran. I just went. And I walked there. I was thank Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for Shannon Jesus. I'm thankful, Lord. Thank you very, very much. Want die Here weet, if I left it for myself, no. God chooses the best for you. Why am I telling you this story? Because some of you, the stuff you chose for yourself, it sucks. Repent. Say, Lord, I want the best. Give me the best. Oh, come on, are you with me? Is there somebody that's with me this morning? The goodness of the Lord looks like my wife. That's the goodness of the Lord for me. And so I told you all of the above to say to you, the goodness of the Lord is sufficient for you. Why did I use all the stories today? Because you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You would have chosen death. There was one that came and said, no, I give you life or death, but choose life. And you have a choice to make. You can choose life. You can say, Lord, I want you. And He'll say, come, let me teach you the ways of the kingdom. Let me infiltrate you with my spirit. Let me tell you the secret things of the kingdom to come. Let me tell you how to live a life that is worthy of my kingdom. That how you can cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Come on, let me teach you how to invade the business realm. Let me teach you how to invade this and invade that. And very soon, because you come to host the presence of the Lord, you become an invader. You don't become a consumer, you invade. Why? Your God makes you to invade. Are you there? Last thought, scripture, Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says they were together in one room. And suddenly, can you sense the Spirit of the Lord? He just came into the room. Suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord descended, filled every one of them. And each one of them received tongues of fire. Each one had their own fire, by the way. And from that moment, they started to go out. And they were never back in unless they prayed for more power to come. The task of the Christian, you and I, is to go out. We can't stay in. The call is too great. Let me say it like this. There are too many people that don't know the Lord. And they should know Him. I want to ask you a question. I'll close with this. I'm over my time. I want to ask you a question. This is the question. If a son and a daughter of yours are not at the dinner table at night and they need to be, will you eat? No, you won't. Why? Because a son is not home. A daughter is not home. Right? So why are we as Christians so comfortable with seeing so many people lost? The father has got empty chairs. Our job is to go find the kids and bring them back home. Say, Dad, here's another one. Brought them back. Are you there? I want to pray for you today. I felt when I drove in here early on this morning, the Lord said to me two things. He said to me, I'm going to say to you today, like Zacchaeus, come down the tree. Zacchaeus tried to engage with Jesus because he climbed a tree. And as I rode in here this morning, the Lord said to me, tell my people they must not climb trees. I already did. Let me say it again. You don't need to climb a tree. Jesus already did. It's not your effort, it's His. You are because He is. As He is, so am I in this world. And the Lord said to me, I must tell you first and foremost, come down that tree. That tree of self-righteousness, tree of pride, tree of anger, whatever the tree is, whatever tree you've climbed onto and you believe that you have a right to be in that thing. No, come down. Because the Lord wants to have an encounter with you. Second thing the Lord said to me this morning, He said, I must tell you to put your rocks down. Now, people here this morning, you have got rocks to throw at people, but you need grace. Give grace. I'll say that again. Don't pick up the rock that you think you may throw, because I'm telling you, the rock of ages chose you. It could have crushed you. Put down that rock, because your rocks is not going to save nobody. Grace saves. Grace heals. Grace restores. Grace introduces you to a new life. And as you sit here this morning, may I give you a new profession? Here's your new profession. Heal other people by the grace of God. Heal them. As they come in weird and wonderful, heal them. How? Grace, compassion, kindness, mercy. Don't treat people the way you... Sometimes we put on the glasses of our own shortcomings and we judge other people through our shortcomings. No, don't reflect rejection. Heal rejection by acceptance. Come on, are you guys there? The truth is, all of us are nobodies. But became somebody because somebody came for nobodies. Let me say it like this. Bethlehem was nothing until a significant person was born there. Then Bethlehem became significant because it was a host for the king. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, don't do the mistake where you want to name something Benoni, son of my trouble, but Jesus calls it Benjamin, son of my promise. Are you there? And I'll close with that. I want to pray over you today. I want to declare over you today that you are not like the rest of the world. You carry the favor of the Lord, but that favor should empower you to open up the door for other people, so that they can come in. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. Come on, are you guys with me? But how? Goodness. Leave you with a last thought. One of my daughters, I won't name which one, it's for help for the other people. We went to buy her a matric jacket just a school jacket. As we're standing in the queue, there was somebody else that they were going through certain things, and I said, no, we'll pay. It's okay. Don't go through that stuff. We'll pay. We'll buy a new one. Don't go for a second, and we'll buy a new. And the lady looked at me. She said, no, we are frugal. I said, what's that? Said, no, frugal, if you want to know, means to be happy with not having anything and being prideful while you have nothing. That's not the Lord's way, by the way. I said, well, I needed to actually look up what frugal means because I didn't know either. I said, but don't you want it? No, be frugal. Okay. I said, just relax. So we went and we bought our stuff and left. Some people want to stay lost, even though you want to offer them the best. But it shouldn't stop you to offer them the best. Are you there? It's not your responsibility how they will act. It's your responsibility to make the offer. Okay, I'll leave you at that. I want to pray for you today, and I want to pray that you will be a healer for other people. And I mean nothing weird by that. I mean that you will be a grace giver, a compassionate giver, a mercy giver, a one that gives grace, gives mercy, gives compassion, gives. Because the more you give, the more the Lord returns that gift. We one day going to stand in front of the Father, and the measure we have used will be measured. I pray that you are not measuring other people with a very short stick. Measure them with abundance, grace, compassion, and see how many you can save and bring back home. Amen? Won't you stand to your feet, please? This was a completely different type of sermon, but that's good. The Holy Spirit preaches best, right? I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. And I want to pray for you today that you would come down that tree. And that you will put the rock down. And that you will say, I am a recipient of the supernatural grace. I want to give grace. Father, I want to pray for your people this morning, every single person that is here. I want to thank you, Lord, that in this day, that they may be reminded that they are recipients of the supernatural grace of God. And Father, I want to pray that in this morning, right now, that they may know that, Lord, this grace enables them not just to be a recipient, but to be a giver of grace. A giver of mercy, a giver of life, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that this day may be a day of extravagant grace that is given away to others as we receive it, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen, amen and amen. Come on, let's just give Jesus 5 seconds of praise.